On air, and we will get going.
Hi Richard, by the way, I'm
Hi,
Katie.
Kate. Nice to meet you, love.
Nice to meet you.
Right, there we go. Hi, everyone. Leo Smith here of MMA UK, coming to you with another episode of the MMA UK live show. Joining me tonight will be my co-host and partner in crime, Katie Hunter. Katie, how are we this evening?
Hello, I'm good. Sorry about the technical issues.
Yeah, apologies for the technical issues, guys, but we got there in the end. And of course, our first guest. The main man himself, head coach of Today Combat, Richard Shakey Shaw. Shake, how are you this evening?
All good, Lil. Hi, Kate. All good.
So, Shake, we got a big show coming up. So what we wanted to talk to you about, first of all, was the Ebervale card, Cage Warriors Academy Wales. Another show that they're putting on. They've really invested a lot into the local scene and the amateurs in Wales. Can you talk to us a little bit about this card and what we can expect from this next one coming up?
Yes, yeah, same as you'll always expect. Good strong pool, right from very, very novice amateurs right through to the more established ones, and a couple of novice pro guys that we've supported through the amateur rank center to be the main event on, finish the card off with a couple of pro fights. We've got two title fights. We got, for me, arguably one of the best fights you could have an amateur in the UK, Scott Pederson and Ben Ellis, two top draw guys. That's for the vacant lightweight belt, because obviously Jordan Peake has moved up to professional now. He's fighting pro on the card. We've got Jack Tucker and Elliot Chilcott, who are two of the most experienced guys in Wales as well at the at middleweight.
Yeah, and obviously the headline of this card is going to be Josh Reed. Obviously, Josh, he's been on a bit of a losing streak at the moment. He's gone three on the bounce. How important is it this card for him to get back on the horse? I know his name's a crazy horse, but for him to get back on the horse for this run.
I mean, Josh was straight on to me after the last fight. We've had this date locked down for a while for the Academy card, and Josh was on my case on, in training, on the phone, wanted to fight. So, and he's got a tough test. He's fighting Rory Evans from Swansea, whose record doesn't do him justice. I think he was something like 12-11, 12-0 as an amateur. I've watched Rory fight and train, and he's a relay level guy. He's just been a bit like Josh, really unfortunate with a couple of his fights. He hasn't had the rub of the green. So Josh has got the experience of pro, but if you add up the fights that Rory's had at amateur, it's quite a well contested fight, and I really think it's a good 50-50 fight.
Yeah, it's a fight we're definitely looking forward to. Obviously, Josh Reed, one of the most exciting fighters that's come out of Wales in a long time. So, a lot of fans and a lot of support behind there for Reedy. Obviously, it's going to be a great fight. Further down the card, then, we've got Oban Elliott and Brett Hassett as well. Oban obviously making his pro debut after winning the amateur tournament with Cage Warriors. What's your thoughts on this fight, Shay?
Oban's a big prospect, but Brett showing his last fight, he can pull out the win. Brett Hassett is a real tough, durable character, and props to both guys, really. Props to Brett for taking it against, I suppose it's a no-win fight for him. It's against a lesser experienced guy, but I'm props to Oban for taking a more experienced pro fighter. But Oban's got a lot of self-belief. This ain't going to be a walk in the park. Oban likes to strike, and Brett's a good, tough striker as well. So it's an interesting matchup, but it's a real tough test for Oban for his first pro fight. He could have looked for an easier option, but he didn't. Him and his camp were looking, I suppose, for a bit of revenge, because Brett beat Michael Causton on the last card in quite convincing manner as well, to be fair to him. So yeah, props to both guys. I'm looking forward to it. I think them boys will duke it out on the feet. So I think we're looking. I don't see it going past the round two max, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting one. I mean, we talked about Oban. Obviously, we've got Jordan Peake as well, who's going to be making his debut on this show. We're a couple of months removed from the amateur tournament now in 2018. Obviously, Cage Warriors put the European Amateur Grand Prix tournament on. Looking back on that for you, Sheik, obviously, you had a big hand in that. Would you look at that as a success now when you see guys like Oban and Jordan Peake and guys of this caliber coming through in the pro ranks?
It's a fact we've invested into the amateur scene, Lou. We've been doing it right from day one. I'm a pain in Boylan's ass because I always insist on a big amateur card, because if we're real, Cage Warriors, is a platform for you if you're serious about the sport to get into the UFC. And every couple of years, you're gonna have that jump along. You've seen it recently. Fish Gold's gone. The welterweight, I can't remember his name, excuse me, off the top of my head.
Craig White.
Craig White. No, Craig's not the one I was thinking of, the champion, the guy that was He beat Brad Scott in his debut in the UFC. My mind's gone blank. He's Italian.
Oh, Pedizzoli.
Yeah, Pedizzoli. Sorry. Yeah, well done, Keith. Thank you. he's gone. So, you know, you're creating stars on the Cage Warriors platform, but sooner or later, you've got to create that star to follow through. And I really believe the way to do that is to invest in him as an amateur, get people familiar with him, same as we done with Jack Shaw, Mason Jones, build them up, build their profile, build their fan base. Then when one of the lads, you know, is inevitable, sooner or later, Jack will move on to, you know, the UFC. And then we've got that pool of talent, which will just take the reins and you know, and run with that baton. So, yeah, we invest in the amateurs because we look at the long-term goal offer. And it costs us money, mind. You know, we put a lot of investment into it. With a lot of shows won't. But we're reaping the rewards now. And I think, you know, the likes you've just named them here, Jordan Peake, Oban Elliott, regardless of the results in 2 weeks' time, we've got big futures at professional level in this sport.
Yeah, brilliant. I know, Katie, you've been to a couple of the Academy shows now as well, haven't you? What's your thoughts been on the Academy shows you've seen and the Cage Warriors shows you've seen in general?
I love them, and I love what Graham Boylan's saying about making the main Cage Warriors shows, basing them around places where he's got the Academy. So there's kind of that seamless transition. I'm really looking forward to seeing Corey McKenna back in action. I train at BKK with Jack Mason, so I know Corey well, Richard.
She's a horrible little cow.
She's just such sweetness and light. Come on.
Yeah, until she gloves up, and then she's anything but sweetness and light.
Yeah, I think, if you see her fights, it's certainly a lot different to seeing how she is outside of the cage, but... we've got a couple of questions that have come through on the live feed, Lewis, if you want me to read them out now.
Let's go for it.
Here we go.
We've got one from John Sloan. You kind of answered it a little bit already, Richard. He's curious to know why you've presented such a skillful opponent for Oban's first pro fight, when usually UK pros try and have a bit of not an easier fight, but a warm-up fight, maybe.
Well, we were looking to match Brett, based on the fact Brett's been pretty loyal to us. He's fully safe MMA cleared, and, you know, he stepped up to the challenge in the past for us. So I think as an organisation, you've got to show loyalty to those type of guys. When we were trying to match Oban, to be fair, his camp came and asked me for Brett. And I think it was on the back end of the fact that he'd beaten Michael Corson pretty convincingly. You know, Michael's a real durable, tough fighter, another one that we have regular on cage with. So it was a case they wanted it. I mean, you know, I don't think it's a mismatch. If you add up, again, like I refer to with Josh Reed and Rory, if you add up the amateur experience alongside the pro, they're pretty much on a level pegging when it comes to fights. And I watched Oban on an interview with you guys recently, and I think he touched on that as well, that he feels that he's had enough fight, you know, cage experience that he can step in with guys at that level.
Awesome.
Yeah. And also, what I will say, you're going to have problems matching Oban with a debut pro because his reputation has gone before him now, you know. He was difficult to match at an amateur, and I think we're going to see the same sort of thing as he moves through the novice ranks.
Yeah. Can I cut in one as well there? Because I know you touched on the Sheikh, about safe MMA. We had a little bit of a debate about this in our MMA UK chat room the other day. People sort of weighing the pros and cons of it. Can you just sort of tell us a little bit why? Because I know Cage Warriors now is all safe MMA, isn't it? What's the pros of having the safe MMA with these
kinds
of shows?
There's no cons. Let me put that out. There's no cons. Fighter safety is paramount. And I'll refer it every single time back to Dave Adicott, right? We could have had a death on our hands at Cage Warriors 97. No, I saw bets. We could have had a death on our hands. I read the report, and the report stated that the historic bleed was of such a nature that heading a football could cause David to have had a blood clot and die. Now, what I don't want as a promoter on my conscience is a young man losing his life, because the ramifications of that, it doesn't even bear thinking about. It, not just for us, but for the whole of European MMA, okay? Yeah. It will take us back a decade. So my job and my responsibility as a promoter is to ensure that when two guys go out there to fight, that they're at peak physical condition, that we've left no stone unturned. We can get it done in Wales. The cost is around about 550 quid. And this is something that I've argued online, and I'm fed up. I don't even argue with people no more about it because you're dealing with idiots. It costs you 550 quid in Wales. Then, the following year, all you need to do is renew your safe MMA membership, which isn't a huge amount. I think it's like 100. I can't remember the cost, but it's not a great. It's £65 for 6 months, something like that. Then you have your bloods and your eye tests. We can get that done for £50 and a doctor's medical at 30. The actual main cost of that £550 is your MRI and your MRA brain scans. They don't need to be done until another 3 years' time. And I always say to people that's serious about taking this up as a profession, not as a sport, as a profession. If I wanted to be a trainee plumber and I wanted to go out and become a full-time plumber, I'd have to buy a van. I'd have to buy liability insurance. I'd have to buy the tools. I have to invest money into my career. And this is how these guys should be looking at it, particularly if they're getting paid and if they've got accountants and everything else. You write it off against your tax anyway. So it's an expenditure, but there is no cost you can put on it, unfortunately. And I mean, I'd rather lose a fight. I'd rather somebody say to me, I can't afford it, fine. I don't care how many tickets you sell. You're not fighting on my events. It's as simple as that. So the fight to safety is paramount as far as I'm concerned. There's no cons. We've saved the young man's life there. That's got three children and a wife. Can you imagine me having to have that conversation with that young lady? Your husband is dead because I didn't have the necessary medical checks in place. Not a chance.
I've seen, like I said, you said yourself, you've had a few arguments online about it. I've seen a few. We've had a few in our staff room sort of contemplating. I know the main thing I think people argue about is the money, but like you said there, you know, you can't really put a price on.
What would they rather? I put this to anybody. Would you rather somebody have? Would they rather have Dave been paid extra £500 that night and died?
Yeah, it's a fair argument. You know,
there's no argument. Anyone who says different is an idiot, and you can put that out there. You know, it's as simple as that. I mean, and don't get me wrong, in the early days, we were running shows. We never had safe. We had medical cover, but we didn't run the safe MMA. But it wasn't until I studied it and had a good. And got a good grasp of what it entailed that I fully understood how serious it. Look what happened in Ireland, you know, when that poor soul passed away in the middle of an MMA fight. You can't fight in Ireland anyway now unless you're safe MMA registered.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth it. And it's on all the Cage Warriors events now, even the amateurs, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's for the professionals, even on the academy cards, every one of the pros. And my take on that is that you can get knee to the head, you can get elbow to the head. Okay. We encourage the amateurs to go and get safe MMA clearance, particularly I do with my team. I know Chris Reese is doing the same over with him. But it's a bit more difficult to ask an amateur that's not getting paid.
Right, I understand,
that sort of money, you know? But with a professional, there's no shades of grey on it. They have to because of the type of contact they take.
Yeah, no, fair play. Katie, thoughts on safe MMA?
Yeah, I know Jack's behind it as well. And even when we see fights fall out because there's a last-minute replacement who wants to step in and Safe MMA won't clear them in time or can't get the blood work back in time or whatever. That's just a hard and fast rule.
It is. It's a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the backside for promoters because we can't just at a whim bring somebody in at 24 hours notice unless they've got Safe MMA clearance, you know? So anybody who thinks that promoters are doing it for their own benefit, far away. It costs me a lot more money to put on. I've got to pay for two doctors, two ambulances, four paramedics. I have to pay for all the safe MMA checks. We help out some of the fighters as well towards the cost, you know, in certain opportunities if they've taken a fight to short notice. So we try and do our bit. But you know, it's key for me. Everybody needs to be safe when they're fighting.
Yeah.
And Sheikh, want to move on from Manel because I think it's one of those things we could sit and talk about all night. I think we can sit and talk about that one all night, Chick, really. But next one I wanted to ask you, you've got Jack Shaw just had his fight announced with Scott Malone. What's your thoughts on that fight? Obviously, Scott's a big up-and-coming prospect, a lot of hype behind him coming down from Scotland. What's your thoughts on this one, buddy? Another big one.
Yeah, good matchup. A lot of respect for Scott. He's a nice kid. He's a talented fighter. But, you know, I watched you guys debate the Mike Eckendale fight, Lou, and I think it was only you fighting in my corner saying saying that I don't really think they know what they've taken on. You know, every time Jack's matched, it's always this is the one, you know. He's never fought nobody of this caliber. He's been fighting quality right throughout his career. He ain't an amateur, you know, he's fighting quality. So, we got aspirations of not just getting in the UFC, but really making a mark on it. So, like people have said to me, why didn't you take the UFC contract when it came? Should Jack lose to Scott, it justifies my decision because it shows he's not ready.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm 100% confident we'll be prepared, we'll be ready, we're expecting a tough fight. But yeah, we're comfortable that we'll do the game plan and do all the homework and make sure the preparation's right, and we're looking to win in style on the day.
Yeah, another big card down in Cardiff and another big main event. Katie, was there any last questions on the YouTube for Richard?
Yeah, there's a couple. I just wanted to ask one, if I can, about if you're worried that you'll run out of challenges, like competitive challenges for Jack before his contract with Cage Warriors expires.
I don't think so, Kate. I think the talent pool in Europe and across, you know, we've got connections in America as well. We might look at something like that going forward, you know. I look at, if I'm honest with you, I've looked at some of the bantamweights at the UFC in the last couple of events, and I don't even think the quality's as good as what Jack has fought in Mike and Scott anyway. Yeah. I think any of those three guys could slot in there and be ready. You know, we've seen it with Nathaniel, we've seen it with Brett. The guys coming through the Cage Warriors ranks, they're more than capable on their own at that level. But no, I don't think so. I think there's plenty of options out there for us. I think we feel that we owe Cage Warriors a bit of loyalty. They've looked after us, promoted Jack right from his second pro fight. And as I've always said, I don't want him entering just yet. I think another 12 months of fights and training will really, really round him off as a complete fighter ready for the UFC. Hopefully around about April next year.
Okay. And then a couple more that have come through, Lewis. Richard, what are your thoughts on local fighters and local promotions saying Safe MMA would destroy MMA in the UK? I guess the local smaller shows.
No comment.
Yeah. Same. And did you recently see MMA fighter Mickey Doran, who was debuted? He was debuting on Bellator Dublin, but an MRI scan showed a serious brain injury. It was really similar to the story you were telling actually earlier.
Was he withdrawn? Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Well, and you know, it kills me because I know how upsetting it is for the youngster. These young lads, they got dreams and aspirations of becoming pro fighters, and it's ripped from them. But let's be real on this. There's bigger things in this sport, you know. And if we were dealt the same blow with Jack tomorrow, I'd be grateful that we found it before we'd actually gone into a fight. As gutted as I would be that he didn't fulfill his dreams, you look at other things in life. You know, this life we live is not the be all and end all of MMA. You know, MMA is part of our life. It's not our life, you know. So it's important safety comes first. So props to Bellator for picking up on that, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, he's obviously devastated that he can't fight again, but he showed the scan online. It was you could actually
He's a big
grey
spot. He's a big grey blob there, wasn't he?
Yeah. And one more before we let you go. Is Scott a tougher matchup than Ekandayo?
I think they're very, very similar, to be honest. So I think we'll expect much of the same. You know, they're both very good. Very good wrestlers. That's their go-to. Don't know. Scott's had a cracking TKO win against Adam Amasinger. But I think his go-to and his comfort zone is his wrestling, his ground and pound.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he matches up on the day.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well,
can I stay on with Tucker to make sure he's doing things right?
Yeah, if you want to stay on with Tucker, that's fine.
Definitely.
Keep going with Tucker then. So. Jack Tucker, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all good, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Big fight for you coming up. Obviously, you're on the Ebervale car. We just talked about it with Shaky. You're going to be fighting against Elliot Chilcott for the Cage Warriors Wales Middleweight Amateur Championship. First of all, what's your thoughts on this, buddy? How are you feeling going into the matchup?
I feel good, yeah. I always have a good camp, you know. I always... training always goes well. Like I said, me and Ed, this is the second time me and Elliot will be fighting because we fought 3 years ago in March in Ebervale in 2016. So obviously there's been room to improve on both ends, so it should be a good night.
Yeah. Obviously, you come from a camp, Tulare Combat, a lot of big honours from there. You know, you got Jack Marshman, who's been one of the best middleweights in the country for a long time, a lot of sort of championship belts. How good is it going to feel for you to get in there and, you know, win a belt of your own?
Yeah, I'd be ecstatic, you know. Like I said, we've got champions all the way from amateur to professional in our gym, you know. Just be good to be one of those.
Yeah, no, fair play, buddy. You said that you fought Elliot before. What's your take on him as an opponent?
very tough, very durable, you know, like he's not quitting him at all. He was, well, a very tough fight. Like, I had to dig deep for that one, so I'm expecting nothing less.
Yeah, so a case of who's improved most, really, you think?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And Shake, I'll bring you in because, you know, you stayed in to talk with Jack. What's your thoughts on Jack going into this one? And, you know, how much does he deserve this shot at the belt for the amateur championship?
Yeah, I've always said, and I don't like to make his head get any bigger than what it is. You can see on that screen, he's a big head.
Yeah.
But he trains as hard as anybody at the gym. His commitment and his attitude and his approach to fighting. He's a role model for everybody, every one of them amateurs. If they all trained as hard as he did, I'd be an happy coach. It's a tough fight. Elliot's a lot of experience. He's fought in the IMAFs as well. You know, he's a good all-rounder. He's good submissions. And both lads are a lot bigger now. They're both middleweights. With, you know, they're getting that bit older. Their body's changing and developing. So I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, we got Jack ready. He'll be prepared. And I'm looking forward to it, to be honest. It'll be an exciting fight. And hopefully, you know, Tuck will come away with his first title belt.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you as well, Jack, what Shaky touched on there. Because you always fought as a welterweight as long as I've known you. And you know, you picked up a lot of wins, a couple of losses. Last time you moved up to middleweight, then I thought you never looked better. What's your thoughts on moving up to middleweight? And how much better have you been feeling being able to go in a couple of pounds heavier?
Oh, it has made a massive difference, you know, especially in the weeks leading up, because I'm not feeling so drained of that. And I don't have a Shaky on my case as much for being heavy.
Yeah, no, yeah, I've been down a few times and seen you having some stick, so...
He's still heavy now. He's still heavy now.
Jack!
Yeah, go on.
Sorry, can we just get you to turn your phone sideways?
Sorry.
That's all right, that's good. Thank
there
you.
There we are.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on. Ignore me.
No.
What are you waiting at the moment, Tucker?
Well, that's why I left the gym earlier.
Yeah, don't I know it. You shot off before you're waiting, eh?
Yeah, 86.5.
Yeah, that's 88. Add two K to whatever he says.
Fair play. Katie, do we have any questions coming in on YouTube?
We do. We've got Jack. If you could change one rule in MMA, what would it be?
Peter Knox special, that question, isn't it?
I don't know. No comment.
I go on. I'd like it to be a 15-minute fight without a break.
No round breaks.
No rounds.
That could be interesting, yeah. Test the cardio.
How many fights have you seen where a fight is hanging on for life at the end of a round and the bell is saved in?
Yeah.
That's unfair. Let him roll. 15 minutes. Then we see who's got the cardio and the ability to dig in.
Yeah. The best answer we've still had to this question is Tucker's friend Oban Elliott, who said he'd like to see Ed Butts brought back in. I think that's so far the best answer we've had.
That's Mirtha mentality, that is, old man.
Anything else on there, Katie?
Frankie wants to know if you know what landscape is.
What?
Yeah.
Ignore that, Jack. That's lost him, that is. Carry on.
Maybe that was the problem. No, that's all we've got for now, Lewis.
Yeah. One thing I think is good, obviously, to get younger fighters like yourself on, Jack, and sort of see, you know, how long have you been training MMA and what first got you started into it? And obviously, what's your future aspirations with this now?
I started training when I was like 14 in a small gym in Merthyr. And funny enough, Aiden James is the one who got me into it, you know. He said, oh, there's a club down the road, do you want to come with me? And then I just went from there. Then obviously, I dipped in, moved to Shaky's in June 2015. Proper stuck in it then. But then like, I broke my hand, had a layoff, and then I got back into it then September last year.
Yeah, no, obviously onwards and upwards from there. What's your goals over the next couple of years? I mean, obviously you're going to be fighting for an amateur belt now. Is it sort of looking to turn pro and sort of push into those Cage Warriors leagues and even further beyond?
Most definitely, yeah. Like, just do whatever Shakes tells me, really. Like, hopefully do well in the IMAS now if I do get in the team and just go from there, you know, take one step at a time.
Yeah, was that the tryouts today you were at, was it?
No, Saturday.
Was that what was that like?
Yeah, it was good, yeah. A lot of good talented guys, you know. It was really good.
Where is the competition this year, the IMAS?
Belfast.
Belfast, right. So Not a bad little trip on to Belfast. You hopefully forget that.
On a doorstep as well, and it's ideal for the British lads.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on that, shit? Because I know with the IMAS, you've spoke about it before, like, a big part of you wanted to do this Cage Warriors Academy was, and the Grand Prix, was to give people who didn't have maybe the facilities to get to these big tournaments like that. Is that something that you still believe now?
Yeah, I still believe that. Don't you know, I think the IMAS are worth waiting to go, because if you can get which is why I've encouraged Jack to go this time around. It's in Belfast. But my take has always been on it, particularly with the world, if it's in America, is the world champion isn't necessarily the best fight in the world. He was the best fighter that could afford to go there, you know. And I don't mean that in any way disrespectful. There's been some real quality. But, you know, we come from a little place, you know, a county called Blaenau Gwent, which is statistically the poorest region in the UK. And probably 95% of our guys will never be in a financial position to do that. But if you can, it's great. Look what he's done for... you know, the likes of Jack Shaw then, you know, I hate to bring him up. Yeah. You know, I do. But with the IMAFs, his second, you know, on a second pro fight, he signed a five-fight deal with Cage Warriors because of the promotion that follows, you know, follows you when you got that title, IMAF champion. But at the same time, I think that we've shown that through the Cage Warriors events, with Oban, you know, they've all just signed five-fight deals with us. And you will get the exposure if you can't afford to do the travelling. I do encourage it, because when you win in these IMAF championships, you don't choose who you fight.
Right.
And four fights in 4 days for any young man or woman really shows a bit of grit and character alongside your ability. And, you know, if you can get through that, you're capable of running into that pro ranks, no problem at all.
Yeah, obviously you went up there to, I think it was Birmingham when you went up with Jack, wasn't it?
We were so fortunate. It was in Warsaw and Birmingham, yeah. So... but I think it was one of the busiest ones they had, because the Europeans come out in force, same as I think it will in Belfast. Whereas if it's a trip, say, for example, in the middle of Russia, not everybody can afford them flights and everything else. You've got to weigh up the... It costs you about 500-600 quid to enter. Then you've got a hotel. Then you're eating and drinking while you're out there, plus your flights. So Belfast isn't a bad little trip, really. It's brought the cost considerably down. So I'm guessing it's going to be a really good turnout for that.
Yeah. I'm guessing, obviously, if Jack does get in and go and compete in the IMAFs, you'll be cornering him, Sheikh. How do you prepare a fight there? Because, like you said, it's a couple of days with four or five fights. How do you prepare differently for a tournament like that?
Yeah, you do. Your approach. You can't stand there and wing it out. You've got to fight really strategically. For me, the more successful ones are the guys that's got that ability to wrestle, which Jack has got. So if you can get that down, control somebody for three rounds without getting any injuries, you've got 24 hours to rehabilitate and then go again. You know, you'll tend to find the boys with a striking background don't have such an easier path, because they're picking up bumps and bruises. And by the second or third fight, your face could be swollen up. You get pulled by the doctors, or your shin or your elbow's taking a kick or a bump. And, you know, you're not physically 100% there. You know, you're never going to get through the old tournament without picking up niggles. But I think the wrestlers have got that ability to avoid the nasty injuries on the way through.
Yeah, definitely. And Tucker, obviously, we spoke about middleweight. I know... You know, the trend I've noticed with a lot of the guys who sort of go up from amateur to pro is that they'll do a pro at, say, middleweight or welterweight, and then they'll drop down weight. Sorry, they'll drop down weight then when they turn pro. Is it something that you're going to look to turn back to go down weight when you go to pro, or are you going to stay at middleweight?
Yeah, I'll answer. Shut up. Yeah, you'll be going back to 77.
Yeah, definitely. Some big middleweights, yeah, definitely back to 77.
Because, like, you train, obviously, with Marshman, and you coach Marshman. And Marshman's, you know, he's known as a bit of a guy who's not massive for the weight class at middleweight, isn't he? Is it something that, you know, you have to balance the sort of pros and cons of it and then really make that decision?
Jackson, he's like stuck in the middle of two weights, to be honest, because he's too big for 77, yet there's a few bigger lads than him at 84, you know? It's a tough one. I'd like to see the weight divisions closed off a little bit as well. Not so long. I mean, 10 pounds a lot, you know? If you go from 170 to 185, that's £15.
That's a big
difference, you know. In the lighter weights, even at the lighter weights, £10 is a lot sometimes between flyweight and bantam. And I like to narrow down maybe £6-7 per division like they do in boxing. And I think you see a lot more healthier fighters and a lot more competitive bouts then as well.
Mm. I know with like UFC, Dana's consistently just shutting down. They want to get a 165 division, don't they? And
Dana used to shut down the fact that he would have women fighters. And then Ronda came along, which was a money train for him, and he soon changed his mind on that. Someone will come along that... You imagine if McGregor said, I will never fight again unless it's at 165. They'll soon find a division for him.
Yeah, that's a fair point, actually.
Definitely.
Any more questions coming through, Katie?
Yeah, we've got one here. Richard, what were your thoughts on Bellator Newcastle? And do you think they'll provide good competition for Cage Warriors?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great. I'm not one of these, also them and us. It's fantastic that they can put, you know, someone else is putting on arena shows, paying the fighters good wages as well. Good mainstream TV coverage. I just hope they come good on the end of the bargain. Now they've promised 6 UK shows, I think was in the press conference. You know, because they've signed up a lot of guys, and it'll be, you know, it'll be upsetting to see some of them talented guys only getting maybe one fight a year. So as long as they provide it, I think it's a brilliant platform for them. And I think it's healthy competition as well. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. The more eyes on MMA, the better for us, you know. So, you know, as part of the Cage Warriors team, we welcome it.
Yeah. What's your both your guys' thoughts? I'll come to both of you on this one. Obviously, you've got Aaron Chalmers, the Geordie Shaw guy. He's obviously been having a couple of fights, making a lot of noise in the MMA scene. He took a loss, and obviously the Twitter trolls are out in force. What's your guys' thoughts on him and his sort of addition in MMA? And I mean, is there any sort of bitterness towards the people he can get in to watch a show?
Go on, Tech.
I don't know what to say, really. No, I just, you're having a crack at it. All the best to him.
Yeah, fair play. So, I know like a lot of people are sort of happy, to sort of see that he finally lost and things like that. I mean, is it...
To be fair to the kid, I mean, he's training up with Tom Breeze and I, you know, he's doing it right. From what I've seen, he's training like, you know, he's training like a professional. So props to him. He's a bit unfortunate, really. He's a personality. I've been told he sells 2,000 tickets a show. You know, is there any show in the UK that's not going to take advantage of that? Let's be fair. But what I think as well is that he's jumped in there. He's not hidden behind anybody, and he's put himself out there. He was obviously going to lose sooner or later. The kid's only been in it 2 minutes, and he's been thrown into the co-main event. But that's the nature of it. You know, it's entertainment sometimes before sport with some of the organisations, particularly when you're putting the money in the Bellator. So they want a little bit back. And, you know, if it brings a lot more mainstream viewers to it, I'm all for it. You know, props to the kid he's got in there. Does he deserve a co-main event spot? Probably not, but I understand why they've done it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's only the same as like UFC did, obviously, with Greg Hardy recently. A former NFL player, they got him in. It's only the same thing as what they're doing. So
exactly. Who's a WWE fighter they brought in as well?
CM Punk.
Oh, yeah, God, how many followers has Chalmers got on Twitter? I don't know. I'm asking us seriously. It's probably got over a million, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably a lot. Right?
When somebody's got that sort of pull and he's game and he comes to fight, in fairness, you know, he's sparked a few out, haven't he?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, credit to the lad. You know, he's jumped in it. He's given it a good go, and he's done it the right way. He's training at a legit gym. You know, we won't get more legit than Tom Breeze's gym, Renegade. So, best of him. You know, whether he'll come back after that, I don't know. I wish him all the best. I hope he does come back and maybe takes a little bit of a time out and advances his game a bit, so we see an improved Aaron Chalmers when he returns next time.
Yeah,
I don't think he could have handled defeat any better. His post-fight interview was spot on, and he said the haters will be having a field day, but he'll be back. And he acknowledged that, you know, the mistakes he made and the fact that he is a novice. And
he's had a lot of positive on there as well, particularly off the MMA community, I feel.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of pro fight, you know. Everybody's quick to judge, but they're not so quick to jump in the gym, are they? So we can all do it in comfort of our armchair.
One thing we obviously debated about it before, and one thing we all thought was that, although he's not, like you said, he's not the sort of skill level for a co-main event, but in terms of the eyes he's bringing on it, like Bellator was on Channel 5 on Saturday night, and I think a lot of that is because of the attention he's brought to it. So when you've got guys like, you know, amateur guys coming up like Jack Tucker and guys who want to get a bit of a boost, you know, having him on there and getting all those eyes on it is a massive thing. So we thought it's really positive for him to sort of be fighting, and, you know, the way Bellator brought him up, not sort of throwing him in at the deep end to get a hammer in, but, you know, giving him a fair chance. That was the way we thought it. I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
Yeah, Chase. No, I agree.
Fair play. And Tucker, obviously, you want to get back and talk a bit about this fight with you, because it's a massive card, massive fight for you. I know you don't like to sort of talk trash or anything, but any predictions from you for this one?
It's going to be a good fight.
Yeah, that's all we're going to get, is it?
He's a man of few words.
Hey, listen. What I'll say about Jack, he's not just a talented kid. He's very, very respectful. And It's not in his nature to shit talk anybody, and I'm proud of him for that, because a lot of fighters all want to be Conor McGregor these days. And yeah, I think he's standing enough, you know, similar to the other lads that got my camp. We turn up and do our fighting on the day, and I think he'll reap his reward on March 2nd. I'm confident of that.
Yeah, no, fair play. Like you said, it is a big part in MMA now, isn't it? But it's nice to see as well guys who just, you know, come in, be respectful, and I think that's definitely something you've installed in Tulare, isn't it, Sheikh?
I do. I mean, you know, I got a few loose cannons up there. I got like Edwards and Josh Green. You know, Edwards has started fighting a phone box, but he's always respectful, and he conducts himself like a proper pro. And this is a sport; it's not personal. And I always say the fighters, when guys are throwing shit at you and they're trying to get under your skin, it's not personal. Whoever they fight in, that abuse is directed to them. So you've got to shut off from it and not let it affect you. And I do pride ourselves on, you know, right from Marshman in UFC to Jack Shaw, Edwards and Josh and Cage Warriors and the amateurs coming through. We don't get involved with that side of the sport. We just turn up, we train hard. And win or lose is never no bullshit or excuses off us. We just turn up and give it our best.
Yeah, it's a great attitude. Well, and I think that's why, you know, guys always have respect for the Tulare fighters as well. So, you know, it's definitely a refreshing thing. Any more questions coming through, Katie?
That's it for now.
Oh, I can see Peter Knox is calling
He's
me
commenting
Scott.
That you're secretly Scottish.
Secretly Scottish, yeah. Peter Knox always always shit stirring, isn't he? Shake. Want to get back to the Vail card? Are all the tickets sold out? And if not, where can people get?
Yeah, we have literally, we had 20 cage show left. That's down to 10. Every ticket is allocated. We've chased up all fighters today to see if any of them want to return, because we got a waiting list of about 200 people as well. So it will be sold out. There'll be no tickets available on the day. Anybody that is interested in coming needs to contact one of the fighters now. Because there'll be a cut-off point very, very shortly, I'm guessing, in the next 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, how many does it hold? Sorry.
Standard 900, 160 cage. I could put more in there. So it's over 1,000. I think it's 1,100, give or take. But we set it up so that you're not on top of each other. It's spread out nice as well.
Excellent.
What I was going to say is it's one of those things now, because we're going from the Viola Arena, where it's sort of 4,000 people. I think people assume, obviously they don't look at the venue and they just assume it's going to be that size again. But you're going over to Ebbervale Leisure Centre. It's an old school sort of arena for a fight.
Yeah,
shit, isn't it?
I like it. You got the 500 tiered seating, then you got your floor level. But I tell you now, I've been over there when we've had certain fighters over there. When Mason Jones fought on there, Jack Shaw fought on it, and the noise was like the Viola Arena. Do you know what I mean? The atmosphere it creates over it. When Oban Elliott fought Josh Emerson, in the semi-final of the European Grand Prix, it's one of the greatest fights and one of the greatest atmospheres I've ever had the privilege of being involved in, without it being one of my fighters. Do you know what I mean? I sat back as a promoter and enjoyed every second of that fight and every second of that atmosphere. It was incredible. So what I will say is it's a nice venue. It holds a crowd well, but the atmosphere is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and that's obviously March 3rd over at Vail Leisure Centre.
March 2nd, Lou. March 2nd.
That's what I said, wasn't it?
30 second. We'll all be there on Sunday.
Yeah. No, but one thing I should say as well, that fight, Josh Hudson and Oban Elliott, was actually voted Amateur Fight of the Year by MMA Wales.
Oh, so, no doubt about it. I'm just having a look at the card by a minute, see what we got. We got... I tell you what, a couple of ones that stand out for me. We got Liam Shotboat against Kieran Bennett. Shotboat recently beat Tucker in a fight, you know, welter. Kieran's always involved in a tough fight. So, Adam Mayo against Rowan Crocker. Rowan Crocker's the junior IMAF champ. And he's fighting a guy from Cardiff, Adam Mayo. Adam's a real durable, tough kid to be. Well, not a kid, tough man. So that'd be interesting to see how it pans out. So look. I got one of the Scottish Hit Squad boys down who's got a good reputation, Jordan Strong. He's fighting Dale McRae from Paul Sutherland's gym in Trojan, so that should be a really, really interesting matchup. And what I'm looking forward to as well is one of my lads is Kenzie Jones. We got a young lad, Kenzie. He's only 17. Is he 2-0 tuck or is he 3-0 now?
2-0,
I think. 2-0, yeah. I think 2-0. The lad's a phenom. I mean, he's never lost a jiu-jitsu fight. He won the British. He won the British Juvenile Jiu-Jitsu Championships without conceding a point. He nagged me to do an unlicensed boxing bout, which I wouldn't come to. We'll let him do it, and he stopped a guy with a real sterling amateur record. Shocked the lot down there. We done no headshot fights. He didn't lose a fight there, and now he's 2-0 at Unified. He's never lost a competitive match at Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, or MMA. So,
and he's a nightmare to take down.
He's 17. He turns up at the gym. He doesn't say two words to anybody apart from hello and goodbye, right, and maybe ask a question on a certain technique. But I'm really excited with him. You know, I think he's somebody that he's better than what Jack Shaw was at his age. You know, wow, if I do comparisons. So I can't give him a bigger compliment than that.
Yeah, it's a really big compliment. I know Ken's as well. I saw his last fight on Cage Warriors 97. And I'm
blunt and honest as his coach. That he didn't perform that night. I think the occasion and the venue for a young kid overwhelmed him a little bit. I think you'll see a totally different. If you'd seen him in his debut in Ebervale, you saw he fought a real tough guy from Chris Street, says you know, a man, and absolutely dominated the fight from start to finish. I think you'll see the same now as he pushes forward throughout this year.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought he looked great on that card. I think he was the first guy out. I remember thinking, you know, he really, really looked good. Put a lot of pressure on the guy he fought, and you know, just crumble his opponent. So yeah, definitely one to watch out for. And he's going to be on this card, yeah.
Yeah. He's I think he's fighting a lad from Pro Systems. Yeah, Neil Parslow from Pro Systems.
So yeah, it's going to be a big fight. So a big shout out to Kenzie Jones. Just before we let you go, Sheikh, any final words on the Academy show to people watching?
No, just, you know, if you want a ticket, get all of the fighters. It will, and I have this argument every Academy show. I tell everybody he's going to sell out, and everybody turns up on a day. I think we turned away over 100 people at the last event, 100 people on the door, because we can't put them in. We got fire eggs. We got a really decent security team who do everything for the point. So it's going to be a good night. And I encourage any young amateur that's got aspirations of doing well in the sport, get in touch with me. We can get you on. It's a brilliant platform for you to demonstrate, you know, your skill set. And then if, you know, if we're impressed, we'll put you on one of the bigger events at the Ice Arena.
Yeah, brilliant. And Jack Tucker, just before we let you go, obviously a big fight with you against Chilcott. Yeah. Any final thoughts you want to say to your opponent, to fans or friends or anyone watching?
Just want to say shout out to all my coaches, Carl, Shakes and him, and my team at Tenerife Combat.
Yeah, brilliant, buddy. And
was from the heart, wasn't it?
I'm a girlfriend.
I'm a girlfriend.
Where can people get you on social media?
Him now before he says something he regrets.
Say that.
Nah, man.
Cheers, Zach. So there we are. That's Jack Tech. Man of few words, but a man of many talents. So we look forward to seeing him.
Is he always like that, Richard, or were you just scaring him into silence?
He does say a lot. He just laughs a lot. He's constantly laughing at stupid things. And then he's got the stupidest laugh in the gym. Right?
And has he got
a 100 yards away, you're him laughing. I know it's him. Yeah, he's a good lad. He's a lovely kid. I got a lot of time for him.
Yeah. How did he do on the interview tonight, Sheikh? Give him out of 10. How would you rate him?
8 out of 10 for one of his first ones. He's a good kid. He's going to do well. He's going to do well in the sport. I mean that he's a natural athletic savage, to be honest. And nerves has played a part with a lot of his losses, right? And I think finally we're starting to crack the mindset with him. I keep telling him he can be as good as he's only 23. You know, he's been around a long time. People think he's much older, but if we can get that mental aspect right with him, he's destined to go all the way and fight in the UFC, no doubt in my mind. But it's the whole package. It's about getting that mindset right is a key thing for any fighter. So fingers crossed, me and Carl are working on that with him every single day in training alongside his skill set. And there's no reason he can't go as far as he wants to go.
How do you approach that then with fighters?
It's self-belief. Like, I always, you know, without singing the praises of my team, I say to our lads, 95% of your fights are not going to be as tough as your training sessions. We've got a real strong, in, you know, in depth as well. We've got a lot of fighters there. Even the lads, it's not MMA. We've got like really, you know, we've got Ash Amos who's on Polaris grappling. We've got some really good boxers in the gym that got no intention of fighting MMA. So if you can hang with some of the guys you've got in our gym, that should give you enough self-belief that you can hang with anybody in the world, you know. And that comes our mental aptitude just from you encouraging them, trying to keep them confident, watching them, you know, point out the things they're doing well in the gym against some of the higher level guys, and just reaffirming that after they win and, you know, looking back through the fights to show how well they've done. But it is a tough one, Kate. You know, I've seen a lot of talented guys over the years come, which I think, oh, we can do something with this kid, but he's not had. And the mental aptitude comes with how you live your life outside of the gym. It's not drinking. It's not eating the food. Just it's dieting correctly. You know, all these things are the mental aspect of the game. And we've seen some really naturally talented fighters that haven't got that mental aptitude to take it to the next level. So give me an average fighter with a strong mental attitude over a really good fighter with a weak mind. That's what I've always said.
Wow. Yeah.
Fair play. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to end him, I think, Sheikh. So
right, I'm off to watch The Punisher now.
Yeah, it's not about...
Exactly, what's now? It's good, isn't it?
They won't know
about it in the gym. I ended up doing like four and a knock there. I'm watching that. So I saw the bags under my eyes.
What season are you on, Sheikh? One or two?
What's that?
What season are you on?
Season two. I've done one in a week.
Oh, yes, it's a good one, to be fair.
I'm one of these box set addicts. Somebody told me about... Have you ever seen The Following?
No.
Kevin Bacon's in it. I started watching that shit, right? I was doing 7 episodes a night. I was living on 3 hours sleep a day.
Binge watching.
Yeah. Wait, nice speaking to you both.
Sheikh, thanks for taking the time,
thank
buddy.
You come into the show,
Lou, yeah?
Yeah, I'll be there covering, buddy.
Yeah, just drop me a message the night before with the names of who's with you, and I'll look it up on the door.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, right. Sheikh.
Catch you soon, Kate. Be good, love.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
How do I switch out of this now?
Just press the red button.
Tap your screen and then...
Tap the screen.
I got you. Tell up.
Trash it. There we go.
He was great.
Richard Shaw, obviously the head coach of Today Combat, and one of his pupils, Jack Tucker, was going to be fighting on the card at Cage Wars on the 2nd of March. Another 3rd. We don't want people going on the Sunday. So Cage Wars, Evervale, 2nd of March. And we're really looking forward to those fights. Always good interview, Shaky, isn't he?
It was a really good interview, and I think he kind of helped us with Jack as well. He might have been a little bit too quiet. I felt like we were forcing him to speak to us.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I've spoken to Tucker in the gym, and he's always quite talkative. So I don't know. I think one of his first ones, he's going to get better at that. But I think you could have Shaky.
He's a lovely kid.
You could have Shaky on you for 2 hours, couldn't you? Just picking his brain about different things. He's so knowledgeable about
easily.
The sport. So.
Yeah. So, Lewis, can you teach me how to say the leisure centre that this is taking place in?
So, you say what you think it is first.
It's got W instead of, like, a vowel. Surely that should be a vowel.
Go on, try it.
I'm not quite sure what you're... Is it just Ebervale?
Ebervale, yeah.
But where does the W bit go in?
It's just like Ebervale.
Ebervale, rather than
I think the way you said it first was the best, to be honest. Ebervale.
Ebervale.
It's because
we
speak so fast that you kind of brush over it.
That's why I really wanted to learn it when you all said it, but you were saying it so quick.
It's Ebervale. Ebervale. Right. It's a new place. They used to have an old one. They ripped it down and they put up a brand new one. So it's a lovely new facility and. Like Shaky said, it's going to be one of those sort of old school atmospheres where it's only a couple of hundred people, but it's so kind of cozy, we'll say. It's an amazing atmosphere. It seems like a lot more people. So, really looking forward to that one.
That's excellent that it's basically sold out as well and he's turning people away at the door.
Yeah, there's a really big appetite for martial arts down here at the moment. So it doesn't surprise me one bit. I mean, you look at the quality of fighters, you know, Josh Reed headlining. Oban always brings a huge crowd. Now Jordan Peake has a big following. So, I think with Jack Shaw being around you as well, Jack Marshman, they obviously all live in a very small area. Everyone sort of tends to get behind it. So,
yeah.
I know it's similar with you guys as well. Obviously, you have the Academy shows. You always get really good crowds, you know.
Yeah, we're kind of more spread out over the whole of the Southeast. So, we definitely do, but people have to come from a lot further, I think.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you, I know just I'll say briefly, we're waiting for Scott Pedersen, who's also going to be on the Ebervale card, to join us any minute. But obviously, you do the PR for ROC, Katie, don't you?
That's right, yeah.
Are you guys into safe MMA? I know we were talking about that a little bit with Shaky earlier. Is that something that you guys endorse as well?
I'm not sure. I'd have to check with Brad. Obviously, they all get their medicals and stuff. I'm not actually sure. It's possible that the pro fighters do. I don't want to say one way or the other without being positive on that. But yeah, I know Nathaniel was actually ruled out of a Cage Warriors card over a brain scan at one of the fights in London. And it was when he ended up fighting on the Liverpool card.
Ah, right. She...
I think against Vaughn Lay. I could be wrong about that. I think it was him. Yeah, so he... And it turned out to be nothing, and he'd obviously paid for his scan. And so I do definitely understand fighters' frustration with having to pay that money. But I think, you know, you listen to how Richard put it, and it's quite difficult to think that any argument's strong enough to...
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of arguments with it online. I know I've seen, you know, Richard obviously put a few arguments past himself, but the only sort of thing I see seems to be financial.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I can understand, obviously, you know, money's hard to come by. But, you know, if it, that is the only sort of argument that I see is people sort of saying is the financial aspect. And, you know, from what Richard is saying is, you know, you can't really put a price on it. And I tend to agree with that, to be honest. I'd like to see it. To be honest, I'd like to see it in amateurs as well, really. I think that, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea, but... What do I know, Katie, you know?
I've definitely seen people frustrated that they can't get last-minute replacements as well because Safe MMA won't clear them in time. I've definitely heard that before. But again, none of it seems as compelling as the argument for it, really, does it?
Yeah, and like I said, when you got guys like Richard Saw, Graham Boylan, you know, guys who've been in the sport a long time, I think it's... You know, sometimes you got to listen to the guys at the top of you and sort of take their opinions, really, because they're the guys who've been doing it for the longest. So, yeah. What was your thoughts on Bellator this weekend? I know we had that question as well. What did you think of the card?
I really enjoyed it. I struggled with the app. I didn't have any sound on the app, and I had to put a blocker on because I don't know whether we were supposed to be watching or not. I had an email saying it was only available if you were USA-based.
Yeah.
But I know some of you got the prelims easily. So that was a bit of a struggle. But once it was on Channel 5, for me, I didn't really care that the quality of it wasn't what you'd see on a UFC card. For me, I love to see local guys on Channel 5 as well. And when we went to my in-laws on Sunday, my father-in-law was saying that some guys down the pub had been talking about, oh, your cage fighting thing was on the telly last night. And nobody ever says that, ever knows that MMA's on. So I just, you know, outside of the people who are interested in it. So I just thought that was really cool as well.
Yeah. And that's where it's a bit, that's what Matthew is, where it's been a bit like for us in Wales with Jack Shaw, because he's become sort of so big around this local area, sort of Gwent and further around the valleys, that people who don't even like MMA are sort of watching it now and going to watch Jack Shaw fight. So that's been good around you as well. And it's a similar thing, obviously not, I would say not at the same level as Chalmers, because Chalmers has just got such a big following from obviously being a celebrity. But it is a similar thing. It goes sort of beyond the sport and people just going for nights out.
My one criticism of it was just that they kept panning to the Geordie Shaw lot, which I know was the reason some casuals would have been watching it, or not even casuals, people who are only watching it for Aaron Chalmers. But I really thought they overkilled it.
Yeah, it was a lot, wasn't it? Right, I'm just going to try and get Scott in. I'm just getting a message now. He's saying he's ready, but...
Is he not... He's got the link.
Here we go. I'll post it to him now. Give me just a second. Bear me a second. I'm just going to send this over to Mr. Scott Pedersen. All right, that's the link sent to Scott now. Hopefully, we had a little bit of issue at the start getting on, so hopefully that's not going to continue. But it seemed to all work okay when we were on together, didn't it?
Well, after Frankie set it up.
After Frankie set it up, yeah.
Thank you, Frankie.
Yeah, big shout out Frankie Anderson. The mythical tech guy we all speak about with MMA UK. Yeah, yeah. The brains behind it is Frankie Anderson, so big shout out to him.
Thank heavens for him. So one more comment on his from Oban Elliott Lewis.
Yeah.
He said Ebba Vale will be as lively as Coolers on the second. Right. Where's Coolers?
So Coolers is like there's a town over here called Merthyr. Right. I would call it, for lack of a better word, a passionate place. and their main place is a pub called Coolers. So. Yeah,
okay.
Right. Scott Pedersen, how are you this evening,
hey,
sir?
Scott.
What's happening, boss? You all right?
Yeah, could you turn your phone sideways for us, please?
Like that is it. So I'm used to this.
Perfect. Thank you.
Scott Pedersen, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, man. Good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. So, Scott, you've got a fight coming up March 2nd. Ebbervale Edge Centre. You're going to be fighting for the lightweight amateur Welsh belt.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on this fight? And obviously, your opponent as well. You're going to be fighting against Ben Ellis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the fight, obviously. I've been training really hard. Like, I got a good opponent in Ben. He's skilled for everywhere. He's a good boxer, good grappler, good wrestler. Very scramble-based heavy. So, yeah, I'm preparing well for it. I am really looking forward to it. Can't wait to get in there.
Yeah, and we've just had Richard Shaw, obviously, plays a part in organising the event. He said this is one of the fights he's looking forward to the most, I should say. I mean, what are you expecting from this matchup?
Well, I thought high-level boys across the board at amateur, do you know what I mean? I thought some of the best. And Ben's like the next hot prospect in Wales. He's 7-0 undefeated, so now I'm looking forward to making that 7-1.
Yeah, and obviously a belt on the line. You know, like, mm-hmm. We just had Jack Tucker on as well. We'll ask the same question to you as we did to him. You know, you come from a camp in Chris Reese Academy where there's a lot of belts, a lot of honours being won, and a lot of great fighters. I mean, what's it going to mean to you to sort of get a belt to put up there and get something of your own as well?
Yeah, well, when I win this fight, it'll be my fifth amateur title.
Wow, that's amazing, yeah.
So I think I'll be the first person to win two Academy titles. I won the Northwest one, so this will be the first time I win the Southwest one, I believe, or the Wales.
Yeah, I think it's the Wales one, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, it means a lot. Do you know what I mean? It's a good accolade to have.
Yeah.
But if I'm honest, my main concern right now is just beating Ben. That's what I'm so focused on.
Yeah,
so, but no, it's a cool little thing to have. Like, do you know what I mean? More belts the better.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, for people who don't know you so well, Scott, can you just tell us a bit about yourself? How long have you been training, and what got you into fighting martial arts? What? Cause it's not your average career path, is it?
No, it's not at all. But basically, I started boxing when I was 10 years old. I was in primary school, and I didn't get bullied, but I just never wanted to be bullied.
Yeah.
So literally opposite my primary school, it's a boxing gym. And I just started going after school, and I went this every night. And then I'd done that from the age of like 10 to 13, and then I started kickboxing. Then I started K1 when I was about 16, and then I started fighting MMA 17. And so it's come along like... But I've always known I've wanted to be a fighter, do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
What guys growing up were you looking up to? Who's sort of the fighters you're looking up to and thinking, yeah, that's the ones that inspired me?
When it came to MMA, Uriah Faber is one of my favourites to watch in the WEC. John Jones, because he was like some 22-year-old savage. I think he was 23 when he won the title. He was amazing to watch. And that's it, really. I don't really have any idols when it comes to the actual sport. But then I obviously heard of Brett Johns.
Yeah.
And like obviously he's like the best Welsh MMA fighter we have, and I was like looked up to him a lot, and obviously I get to train with him, and we're one of my best mates now. So yeah, it's cool how it's all like come along, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you've got a strong team down there as well, and you obviously like you mentioned Brett, Aiden as well as another
Aiden's
top
a savage.
Mm-hmm. What's it like being with these guys on a daily basis? Because like you said, they're such good fighters, such well known fighters now, and you're in there training with them, rubbing shoulders with them every day. What's that like for you?
It's brilliant because there's no easy rounds anyway, do you know what I mean? So, like you said, we got Brett, obviously. We've got Aiden. We've got Rowan Crocker. There's a few other young lads coming up. We've got Matthew. And there's a bunch of savage. Rory Evans. I could go on for ages. Obviously, as well, it's a grapple-heavy gym. So, we've got a lot of good grapplers to lock on with daily. So yeah, I can't complain about the training. It's amazing.
Yeah, and what do you know about your opponent as well, Scott? Obviously a tough guy, very very good opponent. What do you know about him? And how do you think you match up stylistically?
Funny story, me and Ben, we actually went to the same boxing gym when we were kids. He's a few years older than me, he is, but we actually were in the same amateur boxing gym. I have a lot of respect for Ben. I've trained with him. His abilities, I respect anyone's abilities, and but I do feel like I will exploit them on the night.
Don't want to give too much away, obviously, in the interview, but we'll just leave it at that. Don't want to give too much away.
But not when it comes to respect. Nothing but respect for him. He's a beast of a fighter, but come March 2nd, I'm going to show I'm on another level.
Yeah, fair play. Katie, do we have any questions coming through on YouTube for Scott?
We do. Well, first of all, for you, Peter wants to know if Frankie's the brains of the operation, then what is he?
I'll say no comment. Peter Knox, for everyone who doesn't know, is our editor and owner. Frankie Anderson is our tech guy, I call him. I'm not going to say any more on that because I don't want to get in trouble with the boss man. So I'll get out of this.
Well, Frankie said that he'd send you a t-shirt now, and Peter said it's got to be like 10XL. And then he's asked if I could swap you for any slimmer presenter in the world. Who would I swap you for? I wouldn't swap him for the world, Peter.
Thank you, Katie.
But one for Scott. Well, can I ask one myself first, and then I'll ask Peter's. You took part in the IMAFs, didn't you?
What was that like?
And where was it when you did it?
I've actually done two IMAF tournaments. I've done one when I was 20 out in Bahrain in the Worlds, and I ended up losing to the eventual gold medalist. And then I went out to Romania earlier 2018, won my first fight, and then again lost a close fight to the eventual gold medalist. But when it comes to the experience, like, to win a gold medal, you've got to have 5 fights in 5 days.
Yeah.
In MMA. And everyone knows, like, you know, people get beat up after one fight in MMA and, like, don't train for a week afterwards. But I think it's brilliant. I think, like, there's too many amateurs these days who are scared to protect their records.
Yeah.
And I find it absolutely silly. Like, I want to fight the best. Yeah. That's why I'm fighting Ben. I will openly fight any amateur out there who ever wants it. Let's do it, like, do you know what I mean? But if you want to go, if you want to, like, if you've got big aspirations in a sport to be one of the best, you have to fight everyone, do you know what I mean? And especially amateur, to get, like, if you could fight, like, a black belt or some high-level wrestler, just get on it. And in the IMAF tournaments, these guys are that level. Some of the Russian boys, Ukraine boys, Bulgarian, Swedish, do you know what I mean? I fought some of the best, I beat some of the best. Yeah. I've lost to some of them, but then when I turn pro, I just know for a fact it'll propel you to another level.
So I would recommend
any amateur to do it.
What was it like fighting the day after you won your first one at the IMAFs?
It was quite cool, it was, because I was like, after I won my first fight, I was like, literally just boom, my mind switched, like, it's the next day now. So I just had some good food, recovered, rested. Obviously you have to weigh in again, so you've got to make 70 kilos. Obviously it's not too bad for me, I don't weigh too much for my fight weight, but I like it. I do, I think it's sick.
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually harder. We've done on the Cage Warriors Academy Southeast cards. There's been like a flyweight tournament that happens all in one night.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But I think waiting a day in between each fight is actually harder because all the aches and pains set in.
No, I would rather, like, if someone said to me, like, 5 fights in 1 night, that would obviously be better because, like, boom, you go to bed and deal with the pains the next day. But
Yeah,
it's a mentally tough. It's physically, your body's got to be conditioned. Do you mean it's tough graft? But if you're going to do that, fighting once a night is fuck off. Do you mean? Sorry.
It's a late show, Scott. You can swear if you want, buddy.
Happy days.
I think Brett, when Brett won his Cage Warriors title, Brett Johns, he fought twice in a night as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. We done 8 fights. So, do you know what I mean? That's tough graft.
That's mad, isn't
title,
it?
Like, so, yeah, he's a savage, that man is.
Yeah,
absolute way, of course.
What do you think of that, Kate? The 8 5-minute rounds in a night for a belt.
Easy money, isn't it?
I don't know about easy. I wouldn't fancy it. I'm not going to lie.
No, he earned his money that night, he did, I tell you what.
Definitely.
Yeah. Scott, obviously we touched on it. Obviously, you've got a big amateur record now, a big amateur background. Any plans on turning pro soon or after this fight? When are we looking at for you now?
Well, obviously March 2nd is all I'm really focused on in a minute, but I want to do another IMAF tournament, and then I'll probably turn pro after that and later this year.
Yeah, is that the next one in Dublin, is it?
Yeah, I believe in Belfast. Belfast being held, so it's quite close to home as well, considering some of the other countries I go to. But yeah, let's get past Ben, and then we'll look at that later on. But I'm only young, do you mean? Some people don't believe I'm 22, but I've had a lot of scraps, like, so look about 30. But yeah, I'm so young in the sport, believe it or not. And then, so yeah, I think when I turn pro, I think I'm going to show like there's levels to this MMA game, and I'll just shoot straight back.
Fair play. And like you said, are you training full time at the moment, Scott, or are you mixing in with work? What's your situation at the moment?
No, I'm training full time at the minute. I gotta get like 16 sessions in a week, 3 to 4 times a day. It's hard graft, like, but obviously when you haven't got a fight come up, it's not as hard. But I seen a quote the other day, who's like, you've got to put yourself through the trenches to put your opponent through the trenches in the fight. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Fair play. And any predictions from you for how this fight's going to go with Ben on March 2nd?
I see a multiple ways that I can win. Well, like I said, you never know in an MMA fight. It's mad. Anything can happen. So I just know I'll be getting my hand raised against him.
Yeah, no, fair
play. It's going to be a tough one, definitely. It's going to be a tough fight. I'm prepared for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been spoken highly about by Richard Shaw, so I think everyone's looking forward to it. Are you taking many people over to Emberville to watch?
Well, it's mad because obviously we're both from Puffcore.
Yeah.
So I don't live in Puffcore at the minute, so I'm guessing Ben sold most of the tickets. But like, we've got mutual friends. Well, I've sold about 15 tickets to some of my mates. Like, but there's going to be a huge Puffcore crowd there. So it's going to be a good one to watch, definitely.
Yeah, and with these kind of academy cards in the different regions, it's like local bragging rights as well, isn't it? Like, you're fighting guys in gyms that's just a couple of miles down the road, and people you know are mutual friends. I mean, is that something you feel, and does that add an extra element to it for you?
I couldn't really give a fuck about the bragging rights. No, I just want to beat Ben, like, if I'm honest. I want to beat Ben because I know how much of a good fighter he is. Do you know what I mean? So it's just, I want to keep notching off these high-level lads. So when it comes to bragging rights, like, I'm Puffcore champion or whatever that is, I suppose you can throw that in there. But,
put it on your Twitter then, look.
Yeah, slam that on Instagram. Like, but I couldn't really care. I'm just glad I've got a good opponent in Ben, and it's going to be a good fight. I can't wait to get it done.
Yeah, no, we look forward to that one. Katie, any more questions coming through for us? Well,
I've got one more. I was just going to ask about your nickname.
Oh, yeah. Denklaff.
So what does that mean?
Well, basically, I'm part Norwegian, so like, my dad's side of the family's Norwegian, and my mum's obviously Welsh. So my coach gave me the nickname Denklaff, and it means the power in Norwegian.
Oh, wow.
So I even got a tattoo on my chest. I had that on Carvos. Aiden James tried to get me to have a tattoo on my neck. And it's a funny story, it was actually stenciled in on my neck when we were in Carvos, and the guy was like, no, you're too drunk, I can't put that on your neck. So
thank God. I love that he still was prepared to do it, though.
I was going full in on it. That's Aiden's fault, he convinced me. But it's a cool little story behind it. But
really cool.
It's an out-the-box nickname as well, so it was like, I think it stands me out a bit, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. You shouldn't come up against another one. And then Peter Knox wants to know, if you could change one rule in MMA, what would it be?
One rule in MMA, what would it be? I don't know. I think, like, it was always quite barbaric, but, like, the game would be completely different if you could, like, punch the back of the head on the ground or, like, elbow to the back of the head. I know it's more concussive, and I know, like, we need to keep it so it looks, like, presentable on TV. So it gets to a point where it don't look like a sport if you're stamping people in the elbow and people in the head. But that would be a big game changer.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to sort out this thing when we're touching on the floor and the knees to the head. Obviously, that's for pro. Because obviously, you've got some states to do it with the old rules. I don't even know the old rules between the new rules, really. Do you know what I mean? So another fighter, like, so I think we need to sort that out. The judging, they definitely need to sort out.
Definitely.
But yeah, it's like, you can't really think too much into that, I suppose. It's just like, I think they should get more fighters to be a judge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they've said, a few people have talked about that in the past. I don't know why that doesn't happen.
It is a tough job as well, Lucy, I suppose. But like, refereeing's another tough job. There's people getting fucking having to go with for stopping fights early, and now like that's the touch and go subject as well. But I think maybe the scoring is probably one thing that could change. But then again, I don't know what to change about it. I'm just fight like, do you mean? So, but yeah.
We just had Richard Shaw said he'd like to see no breaks in between rounds. Just fight it out for 15
sick.
Minutes.
Yeah. There'll be a lot more finishes.
Yeah,
I'm actually up for that. That sounds like a plan. That's a good shout. That is. Maybe more like sudden, not obviously not sudden death, but like sudden score rounds in fights. So like if you were like a 3-round fight and then maybe stop a draw or a dodgy decision, you maybe let it go an extra round. That'd be pretty sick. No, I'm all for like the straight 9-minute amateur, straight 15, straight 25. Like you said, you see a lot more finishes. And sometimes you see like at the end of a round, you'll see like someone in a dominant position and they have to stop. And but like, like I said, I think that's a good shout. Boss man, shaky, knows the score, see, doesn't he?
that would be interesting. Maybe we'll have that. Maybe we'll have to get an organisation with that going, Katie. What do you reckon?
I don't see why not. We could try and get it on the Cage Warriors Academy card.
ROC get that going, Katie, do you think?
I'll investigate.
you have to pitch that to Brad and see if you can...
I'll get onto him after this.
Yeah, fair play. And I tell you a question we usually get. I don't know who puts these in, but a question we usually get, which we haven't got tonight, is for you, Scott, how many Jaff Cakes can you eat in a minute? Because this is something we're going to do. We're going to get as many fighters as we can. Obviously, when you're not in fight camps, you haven't got to make weight.
Yeah,
not yet.
And see how many you can eat in a minute. What do you reckon?
Well, my thing is I normally take a pack of the Jaff Cakes for after a fight. So I normally have a pack of Jaff Cakes after every fight. So.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, I reckon. Are we talking how many fit in at one time?
No, so you have to completely finish one before you can start on the next one and you can't have a drink.
I'll probably end up choking to death, no one might like. But, I'll give it a crack, like, if you want me to. Yeah, it could be something fun to do.
The world record is 17.
17?
In a minute,
Fuck, you think you'd get more than that, wouldn't you?
How many Jaff Cakes are in a pack, Katie? Do we know that?
I don't know that. You must know that, Scott.
That's like 20 there.
Is it? So it's 20? Not even...
18, 20, something like that.
Wow. So it's not even a full pack in a minute, then, is the world record?
That surprised me, Alice.
Scott, they got to be someone down at Chris Reed's Academy.
I know someone who can sink a pack of the Jaffa Cakes like that. His name is Rowan Crocker. He's right by the idiots. He'll sink a he'd beat that record. I'd have no doubt.
Yeah, I reckon we're going to have to get Rowan onto that because this...
Yeah, trust me, he'd be more than happy to do it.
They got to be one of the boys down there who can do that, surely.
Yeah, Rowan Crocker, he's your man.
Yeah, brilliant. Katie, is anything else coming through for Scott?
That's it for now. Oh, other than there's 12 in a packet.
There's 12 in a packet.
I'm completely wrong.
Yeah. Jaff Cakes are stinging out on the, on the amount they're
putting
in.
Yeah, maybe they've got smaller like everything else.
So, sugar tax.
Sugar tax, yeah. Well, Scott, obviously, just want to say a big thank you for coming on, buddy. I know, obviously...
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for the exposure.
We've got you on late after training, so we don't want to keep you too long. I know you've got another busy day tomorrow. Just before we let you go, anything you want to say to sort of fans, sponsors, even to your opponent, before we let you go?
No, not really. I hope everyone enjoys the fight. Like I said, I know Ben's going to bring it. I know I'm going to bring it. All respect to him. I hope he has a good camp finishing off, but... one thing is, I'm going to try and take him out my step, and he's going to do the same to me, so it's going to be a fun fight. I can't wait to have another new title around my shoulder come the end of it.
Yeah, that's going to be brilliant. And that's going to be your sixth title, you said, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it'd be my fifth. I've got 3 national titles, and I got a K1 kickboxing title, so it'll be my fifth.
Yeah.
Fourth national MMA title. Then.
Fair play, so all the best on that, buddy. And wait, can people get you on social media as well?
On Instagram, ScottyP102. Facebook, Scott Pedson, and I don't really go on Twitter. But yeah, Snapchat, like ScottyP098. So yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Scott, all the best for the fight on March 2nd.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And we'll catch up to you after the fight, buddy, okay?
Nice one.
To speak to you.
Yeah, thanks. All the best.
Scott, boy.
Cheers.
Bye.
There we go. So that's another one in the bag done, Katie.
Awesome.
Thoughts on the show? Closing thoughts?
Oh, I really enjoyed all the guests today. And that last one was really interesting because it sounds like that's a derby within... a tiny little... Is that a really tiny part of Wales? It sound like a small...
It's like kind of a beach place. I know they got like a fanfare and stuff down there.
Right. And the fact that they've got joint friends that are coming to watch them both, like, that's crazy. That'll be mad.
Yeah, and two local big gyms. Obviously, Scott's done with Chris Rees Academy. Like, obviously, Brett Johns and the likes. I think, I might be wrong in saying this, I hope I'm not wrong. I think Ben is up in the mat with, like, Lou Long, Aaron Cleese.
Right.
So both coming from really good gyms. And, like I said, even if, you know, it's not sort of a local derby to Scott, to the people who support these gyms and come from these local areas, you know, it is a big fight to go out and see their guy win. So that's what makes these cards so interesting, isn't it?
And so, just so much talent in Wales at the moment. What do you attribute so many great young fighters and so many good gyms in there? What do you attribute it to?
I don't know. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, I think there's been a lot of gyms sort of under the radar because Wales never really had any MMA exposure in terms of, like, the media. I think now we're starting to gather. We're getting more shows with Cage Warriors. I think the talent starting to be shown now. I think it was there, but... now it's just getting shown. And it's one of those things as well, when you see the platform and you see these, you know, Jack Shaws on BT Sport and Jack Marshman and UFC and Liu Long signing for Bellator and Brett, it makes people want to come through more. So, yeah, I think that's probably what it is. You know, you've got guys like Chris Rees and Richard Shaw we've just had on to thank for that. So, yes, it's an exciting time to be down here at the moment. Like I said, I'm very lucky because I'm obviously the biggest fan. So for me to be able to go and sit cage out at these events and screaming my head off is pretty amazing. I know you're the same.
Yeah. No, we're very lucky.
You got anything coming up now, Katie, in the next couple of weeks or months? Any big interviews lined up?
Hopefully. I don't want to say it because he's pieing me again at the moment, but I'm hopefully going to get Jorge Masvidal on.
That would be good.
Brad's been kind enough to try and sort that, but... I think he's trying to fob me off, but I'm being persistent and playing the game.
Didn't you say you want him to lose to Darren Till, though?
Don't make this any harder. I mean, I can't get him to read my WhatsApp, so the chances of him seeing this are pretty slim, I think.
I should be
safe.
It will be a great interview to get George on. Obviously, he's an old school guy, isn't he? So... We'll keep fingers crossed that you can get that on because I'd be very interested to see George and get him on you.
I mean, I've wet myself every time he sent me a voice note, so hopefully I'll be able to hold it together if I do get him on.
Yeah.
We'll see. So, what about you?
I think I'm going to be going down to interview Jack Shaw in the week. Obviously, he's got, like we talked about earlier, a big fight coming up, so get some done with him. Other than that, nothing much on... Oh, sorry, I apologise. Saturday down in Abraham and Leisure Centre, I'm going to be going to Strike and Submit Fight Championships, the first show they're putting on. It's down in Port Talbot, and that's going to be headlined by my mind's gone blank, but it's going to be headlined by Glenn Williams, and Jamie McDonald. So really looking forward to that one. Really looking forward to going out to those, watch those guys, and that's the next one for me.
Excellent. Cool.
Yeah, well, Katie, thanks very much for coming on with me. Always a pleasure to have a
chat. Really enjoyed it.
Get through these guests. Thank you to all the guests, obviously. Guys, we're getting up there in terms of our subscribers now, so please drop down below, smash the subscribe button. We really appreciate it so we can keep on making content like this. And Katie, where can people get you on social media?
I'm at Cuppers_MMA or I'm Katie Hunter on Facebook.
Yeah, so give Katie a follow. And myself is... LSmith6 on Instagram and Lewis_MMAUK on Twitter. Give me a follow as well and check my stuff out. Other than that, Katie, I think that's another one in the bag and we'll call it there.
Fabulous.
Brilliant. Catch you, Katie. Bye.
Cheers.